For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
So come around the Word of God today. We come to church, we experience throughout the week the things of the world. We've got to be very wary about letting the things of the world get into our hearts. Okay, and that's one of the reasons why we come to church and get the Word of God into our hearts, the Word of faith, which we preach. That's what the Word says. Let's open in prayer. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus and we commit ourselves to hearing afresh from you. Lord, I pray every person here would have an insight into the word that you have for us. Let eyes be opened, ears be opened, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're looking today at prepared to reign as kings. You remember in a couple of weeks ago I went through that we are priests. The Bible says we have been made priests, kings and priests, and we went through spiritual sacrifices that we as priests are to do. Not the blood sacrifices of the Old Testament, because the Bible tells us that there was one final sacrifice, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ as the final blood sacrifice. So therefore no more needs to be done for sin, and that's very important for us to see. But there are sacrifices that we should be doing as the priests of God, and we looked at a few of those, and one of those was to submit your body as a living sacrifice. And your body is very important because the Lord wants to use that as a living sacrifice for you and me to do the will of God on this earth. Let's have a look at Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6. Now, it is no coincidence that the terms kings and priests are together in the same section of Scripture. Verse 5 says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth." You know, it's not talking about the natural kings, those who are in the main dead in trespasses and sins. It's talking about us. It's talking about the kings and priests that he's about to speak of in verse 6. So it says in the end of verse 5, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." There's the final sacrifice, the final blood sacrifice forever for sin. The blood of Jesus. Washed us from our sins in his own blood, and so that's connected to what we just read about him washing us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Okay, so God has a Father. That's the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father, God the Father. Okay, there's a good scripture to remember. "To him be good glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So what has he made us? When we're born again, we are changed on the inside. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Our spirits are born again. Okay, so he has, and the Bible talks about, he has given us or made us into new creatures in Christ. We are new. There is a newness, there is a new man on the inside of us. And the Bible tells us here that he has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. He's made us kings and priests. Kings and priests go together here. right together. And it's important for us to see that, because you might say, well, I'm a priest, yes, I acknowledge that, and I offer up my body as a living sacrifice, and I offer up the sacrifice of praise, the lips of praise, offer that up, and I offer up, do giving as a sacrifice, a spiritual sacrifice as well. There are three spiritual sacrifices that we know about. Praise the Lord. You can say, well, I'm doing that. And yet people separate that from the kingship. You know, they separate it from living a life of victory. Because when you think of the word king, you think of reigning, don't you? You think of ruling. You think of victory. You think of richness and strength. You don't think of poverty and lack and destruction and the curse and so on. So we have been made on the inside. We've been made this nature, the nature of being a king and a priest. It's important for us to understand this, because they're both linked together. And because they're linked together, that's the way we can do what God wants us to do on the earth today. Okay? Look at 1 Peter 2 verse 5. 1 Peter 2 verse 5. And there's a term here which is illustrative of what I just said then about the connection. 1 Peter 2 verse 5. It says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So, how are we built up? We are built up a spiritual house. Now, of course, we know that there are many people who completely neglect the spirit, completely neglect the spiritual side of things, and their life is rooted and grounded in the natural or in the flesh, the Bible talks about. But we're not supposed to be like that, because we're supposed to be built up a spiritual house, as it says there, and holy priesthood. We know that everyone that names the name of Christ should depart from iniquity. Depart from iniquity. And so we are to be a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You see yourself, and we looked at that a little bit about offering up spiritual sacrifices. If you go a little bit further in the chapter, and we'll look at verse 7 to verse 10. Start from verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, unto you therefore which believe he is precious, talking about Jesus. Now, do you believe that Jesus is precious? Well, you should. His blood is precious, and he is precious. It really is a great focal point in our life as to what we value. What do you value? What do you value? And so if you believe that he is precious, what will you be as a priest? You will be a diligent priest. So if you go into the Old Testament, it's a shadow of the New, obviously, you can look at what the priesthood was like. And there were some good priests. There were some bad priests. Okay? In fact, if you go to the book of Malachi, it talks about some of the priests offering up the lame and, you know, offering up... And God says, would your governor be satisfied with that? So there's a standard, isn't there? We looked and saw that there was a holy, holy priesthood. We're to be a holy priesthood. It's a high standard. A high standard. And we look upon Jesus as precious, so when we offer up spiritual sacrifices, And we should. We should say daily, Lord, I offer my body as a living sacrifice. And I give you the sacrifice of praise. And I thank you, Lord. And I praise you. I thank you for what you do. Even the little things I thank you for. I thank you for leading me in this. I thank you for giving me the words to say. Okay. I thank you that I'm led by the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. And in your giving, you don't just give the worst. You give of your best. You give of your best, your time, you give your effort, you give of your finances. You know, by now we should all understand what tithes are and what offerings are, and there shouldn't be if you're a biblical Christian, there shouldn't be an argument about that. So he is precious. Is he precious or not? If he's not precious, then don't live for him. But if he's precious, you live for him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As we read before, he is our King and he's over the kings of the earth. We're to be kings. And that's what it says. Keep on going here. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now, what are they stumbling at? What do we see here? Stumbled at the word. Okay, so and I've met up with people who used to go to church, claim they were still Christians and yet live a life that's completely fleshly, don't go to church anymore. You know, obviously they think that, you know, they can love Jesus but not the church. Remember what we went through the other day? An impossibility. As Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So that means that if Jesus is building the church and he's alive today, then the church must exist. Okay? And it must be available. Some places, those local congregations are better than others. But it doesn't mean that the Lord isn't around and in the midst of his people. He is. So they stumble at the word. Don't allow yourself to stumble at the word. Okay? Don't allow yourself to stumble at the word. If the word says it, you should believe it, accept it, receive it as truth and act upon it. Now notice what it says in here, verse 9, but so it's in opposition or in contradiction to those who are disobedient, but ye, talking about us all as believers in Christ, ye are a chosen generation, and notice what it says in the next part here, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, wherein time past ye were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So we see the great distinction between the fact that we were in darkness, we've been called out of darkness into the marvellous light. You know, we weren't a people, we weren't part of the church or the body of Christ, but now we are the people of God because of what Christ has done for us. We had not obtained mercy, we were dead in trespasses and sins, but now we are people who have obtained mercy. Notice what it says, verse 9, we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Let me concentrate a little bit on that term, royal priesthood. We saw before that we've been made kings and priests. And we cannot separate our kingship and our priesthood. And that term, royal priesthood, shows us that we can't separate it. We are a royal priesthood. We are a royal priesthood. So we come before the Lord as both kings and priests. And once that revelation comes into your heart about who you really are, you might be just a little fledgling, little baby, you know. But of course, what do we have to do? We have to grow, don't we? We have to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. We have to grow in faith so that we can operate as the priest that God wants us to. We can operate as the king that God wants us to. And collectively, we can operate as a royal priesthood. Now, I believe once the church has a revelation, not just this church, but the church as a whole has a revelation of the fact that they are those making up the church are a royal priesthood, there's going to be great inroads into our society. At the moment, you have Christians loving the world and compromising with the world and thinking that it's okay to go that way, not understanding the value of what they have, that Jesus is precious and he is to be the one that we look to as the author and finisher of our faith. But we are a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. Let's say this. I am part of the royal priesthood. I am part of the royal priesthood. Let that go deep into your heart, that you're a part of a royal priesthood. Okay, you're a king and a priest, part of the royal priesthood. Something for us to take hold of. Look at Romans 5, verse 17. Now, once that revelation comes into your heart, once you understand it truly, and God will reveal it to you as you're open, once you understand it truly, you're not going to see yourself as a little worm, as someone under the circumstances. You know, a storm might come, but you're not going to immediately react in a fleshly way. You'll react in a spiritual way. And you're not going to let your heart be troubled because you know who you really are in Christ. You're a king and a priest. You're part of the royal priesthood. Praise the Lord. I'm part of the royal priesthood. Glory to God. Romans 5, verse 17. A good one to believe and to confess. Verse 17 says, "For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." So have you received abundance of grace? Certainly. The grace, the favour, the blessing of God, you've received that. Have you received the gift of righteousness? If you received Jesus Christ, you have to have received the gift of righteousness. Because he took your sins, you took his righteousness. So you've received the gift of righteousness. You've been made right in the eyes of God, in right standing. When you understand what that word righteousness really means, it means that no longer are you separated from God and his power and what he wants you to know and so on. He's not trying to keep you away from blessing, but he's hooking you up. He's hooked you up. He's made you a king and a priest. And, notice what it says there, and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So is that just talking about the life after, you know, life in heaven, after you're dead? No, he wants you to reign now. Now. He wants you to reign now. But you know, you have decisions to make. Every day you have a decision. Shall I pray or shall I not pray? Shall I listen to the word or not listen to the word? Shall I confess the word or not confess the word? Shall I believe or not believe? Every day on this earth you have these decisions that you can make. Decisions. Decisions to believe, decisions to say the right thing. Call those things that be not as though they were. So one good thing to say is, I reign in life by Jesus Christ. I reign in life by Jesus Christ. Oh, I don't feel like reigning, Pastor. I don't feel like it. oh, this is wrong and that's wrong. And that. No, you've got to get your believing and your speaking in line with the Word of God. It might not look like it, but I reign in life by Jesus Christ as a king and a priest. It may not look like it, may not feel like it, but I reign in life. Therefore, everything get in line with that in the name of Jesus. I reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. He is my focus. He is precious to me. He is my focus. I'm part of the royal priesthood. We are royalty. We are royalty. We are part of the royal priesthood. We are royalty. So who's the true kings of the earth? Who's the true kings of the earth? Well, it has to be those that God acknowledges. Okay? He's acknowledging the royal priesthood. Yeah, sure, in the temporal, in this temporary space in history, there'll be a setup of natural kings and a deposing of natural kings. You know, the Bible talks about God in control of history. But do you know that we have been made a royal priesthood? And the spiritual overrides the natural. Now we know that as we walk by faith, there should be within us more and more come a realization of who we are, of where we're going, of what we're doing. Praise the Lord. Let's continue on. Look at Psalm 2. Psalm 2. And we'll look at verses 10 and 11. Psalm 2, 10 and 11. Now I want you to keep in mind that the priest and king go together here, okay? Obviously, the Old Testament, they were separate, but the Lord Jesus Christ has put us both as a priest and a king and a priest, and a royal priesthood. Now we're looking at Psalm 2. Look at verses 10 and 11 here. And I want you to take hold of what it's saying here. Verses 10 and 11. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. So notice what it says there. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Do you think that's talking to us? Are you a king? Are you royalty? You are. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Now, we must understand that as kings, there is a judgment attached to that. We are instructed to be wise. We're instructed to serve the Lord with fear and trembling. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. So as kings, we're supposed to be wise. How do you get that wisdom? Through the Word of God. It's able to make you wise. We have to grow in the Lord. We have to grow in our knowledge and understanding. We have to see at what we truly have been made as part of the royal priesthood. And then we act by faith and say, I believe that this is reality. We act by faith in that. We walk by faith. But when it says be wise now, you have to see that there are decisions. Kings make decisions every day. There are decisions we can make. We can make decisions that will get the enemy out of our life, out of our way. We can make decisions. For example, the Bible says that sin should not rule over us. We should rule over sin. Perhaps we should look at that. Go to Romans 6. Romans 6. Look at verse 12. We'll go from verses 12 to 14. Romans 6, 12 to 14 says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof." So what should you have done as a priest? You should have submitted your body as a living sacrifice, shouldn't you? I submit my body as a living sacrifice. So part of your kingship, so you can see how the priesthood links with the kingship here. Okay? You submit your body as a living sacrifice, and then part of your kingship is you reigning, not letting sin reign. Verse 12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Now, we read about the abundance of grace being given and the gift of righteousness. And through that, we reign in life by the Lord Jesus Christ. One area we reign in is over sin. Over sin. Okay? And so we have to be people that are understanding of this. And we say to ourselves, and we say to the Lord, we say, "I do not let sin reign in my mortal body. Sin has no dominion over me. I have dominion over it. I have dominion over the things in my life." As we rule and reign in life, as we go forward, our witness expands. Praise the Lord. So reckon yourselves, in verse 11 says, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So everything that is that the Lord has done for us, He's made us alive, He's made us strong, He's made us a king and a priest. We acknowledge what He's done and we put it into operation in our lives. We acknowledge what He's done. I am a king, I'm a priest, I'm part of the royal priesthood. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. And I reign in life. So when it says, "Be wise now therefore, O ye kings, be wise," then we must be people of the Word of God. We must be people of the Word of God, because that's where wisdom comes from. You cannot say, "Well, I'll just, you know, I'll come to church and that'll be enough." It's not enough. It's a daily thing. Every day, what are you yielding yourself to? What are you listening to? What are you talking about? What are you thinking on? What are you reading? What are you saying? How are you reacting? And so on. So you've got to take up your cross daily. We saw that there's a sacrificial nature of it. The sacrificial part of it is that now we are doing what the Lord wants, not necessarily what we want, but what the Lord wants, and we bring ourselves into line with what the Lord wants. Bring ourselves more and more into line with what the Lord wants. Offering up spiritual sacrifices. Look at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. So we come back to these verses continually. There is a service that we do, okay? So we just saw then that we can reign in life. And part of that reigning in life is acting properly as a priest of God. Okay? Verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So if you're presenting your body as a living sacrifice, also connected to that is let not sin reign in your life or rule in your life. Okay? So now, sin once was reigning in our life, now it's reversed. We're saying, sin, you don't reign in my life. I'm presenting my body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable of the Lord to ask this. Okay? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've read this before, but look at it as, who are you in Christ? You're a royal priesthood. You're a king and a priest. Now those who aren't reigning in life, they are easily conformed to the world, because the world will say this, and they don't have the strength, they don't have the word built into their spirit, they don't have faith built into them, and they're unable to come against the pressure properly that the world applies. So the stronger you get in the Lord, the easier it should be to resist being conformed to the world. Okay? And we know what the world says. It's not saying good things about the Word of God, or about the church, or about the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And the devil wants to bring you out of a line of victory. He's got a will for your life. Okay? But it's not God's will, and it's not a good will. The devil's will for your life is destruction and curse and leading you right out of God's will. Okay? God wants you to be victorious. This is why he's saying, present your body as a living sacrifice. Then you'll be able to reign in life. You'll be able to reign in life. And your mind, let it be renewed, so you may prove, that is, be able to reign in life and prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Can you see how the priesthood and the royalty are connected? Can you see what I'm saying here? It's very important for you to see this. Because if you say, oh yes, I'm a king, I'm a priest, and they're sort of separate things. Yes, they were separate in the large part in the Old Testament. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who is both a king and a priest, is our high priest, and he's the King of Kings, is our prime example. And he's brought them together for his people. And that's who we are now. So we know. I want to just finalise with Hosea 4 verse 6. Hosea 4 verse 6. Over the last month we've been looking at this in a bit of detail. This particular scripture has come up a few times. Hosea 4 verse 6. I just want to consider this just before we finish. Hosea 4 verse 6. And it says here, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. What we see here is that there is a destruction that comes to people through lack of knowledge. Okay? And the destruction that is presented in verse 6 is the destruction of the function of being a priest before the Lord. And notice what it says here. People make a decision to reject knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. And there's many people that rather than come to the Word of God and say, the Word is right, and this other thing saying something different is wrong, because they do that, their function as priest and by connection, their function as king as well, gets undermined. Okay? What we should be doing is saying, I'm not going to reject knowledge from the Lord. I'm going to renew my mind, or be transformed by the renewing of my mind through the Word of God, more and more. You don't want to be in the situation where you're being destroyed, your function as a priest and as a king before the Lord is being destroyed because you've put the things of the Lord aside. And I believe there's many people in the body of Christ who are doing that and have done that very thing. They've sort of put the things of the Lord as secondary. Okay? Remember what we are to be. He is precious. What do you do with something that's really precious? It's valuable, isn't it? You put it as in a prominent place in your life if it's really precious. You don't want to be in the situation where you're being destroyed for lack of knowledge. There's no excuse for not being able to understand about faith, because you have to live by faith. The Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. It is so important. How can a believer in Christ say, well, I don't know anything about faith or can't understand about that? You live by faith, you stand by faith, you walk by faith, and whatever is not of faith is sin. If you can't see that faith is important in the Christian life, something's wrong. So you have to have the right knowledge put into your heart. You know, we don't want to be knowledgeable about, how to sin and all that type of rubbish. We want to be knowledgeable about how to live by faith and how to live victoriously. This is why I've encouraged people over and over again to get into the Word through a variety of means. DVD, CD, tape if you have to. The Word of God is a book, listening to sermons, speaking one another. The Bible talks about provoking one another to good works. All these type of things so that we can walk and live by faith and reign as kings in life. We'll be talking more about this subject in later weeks. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the people here and for those listening to this. I thank you, Lord, that you have made us kings and priests. Lord, I pray that every one of us will develop and grow in understanding and in outworking of ourselves as kings and priests to our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We praise you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for opening things up to us. We thank you for the leading of the Spirit in our lives. We praise you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit, the moving of your Spirit even now.